Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12. This is the Man in Line on Manx Radio through till 1. Get in touch by calling 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. Text 166 177. First of all, the COVID test numbers. 19,138 tests in total have been taken. 19,108 have been concluded. 30 people waiting results of a test and 19 people awaiting tests for COVID-19. Lots of reaction yesterday. Oh, and actually Tracy was on from BBC Radio Jersey talking about the situation in Jersey and their 530-odd cases, including people in hospital and certainly two in intensive care in Jersey. And the upshot really, I think, is that the administration here has seen everybody well and have handled the situation well. But of course, if you have any thoughts on the matter, by all means, get in touch. The vaccination programme set to kick into action as well. Yesterday, we were also talking about contraception being freely available in six forms in our high schools across the Isle of Man. That excited quite a lot of comment. And also, the case of no rally in Castletown, which we'll come to later on. But also, the situation regarding Dr. Rachel Glover, the company which played the fundamental role in setting up the Isle of Man's COVID testing programme, has now severed ties with the Manx government. The company director, Dr. Rachel Glover's, well, her company's Taxogenomics, had supplied the health department with reagents. Alex Watton looks at the timeline. This is how it's all panned out.
The name Dr. Rachel Glover first became a topic of conversation as far back as April, as one of the health professionals at the forefront of COVID-19 testing on the Isle of Man. And that was with the announcement that a dedicated testing centre was being established here to end the need to send samples away to the UK for results. After that, things went quiet after, in May, the island became COVID-free and we came out of lockdown. So let's fast forward to October, when concerns materialised over the nature of testing after the seven-day optional £50 tests had been brought in and then taken away. Indeed, Dr. Glover was worried that without those tests, we were losing valuable data, something the Health Minister was open-minded about, saying the Department of Health and Social Care hadn't ruled anything out. On the 25th of October, Dr. Glover spoke out again. This time, and in her words, she said she'd been dissed by the Chief Minister after she hadn't been asked to contribute to a document on the testing regime that was being prepared by the Council of Ministers. A few days later, and she hit out at government again. She described misconceptions within Comin of her role, that she was an external contractor not directly employed by the DHSC. Dr. Glover had previously explained she sits in a grey area as both a DHSC employee and a private company director of Taxogenomics. It supplied reagents for the testing process. In response, Health Minister David Ashford stood by the claims that she was indeed an external contractor. Then on the 29th of October, Dr. Glover announced she'd resigned from the department, with both Mr. Ashford and Howard Quayle thanking her for her work. But then, in keeping with the seesaw that this timeline becomes, a couple of weeks later in mid-November, it was announced she was in talks to return to her role. However, no update on that was provided. And yesterday, Dr. Glover announced her company, Taxogenomics, will no longer be involved in the testing programme with the department. She described the decision as difficult but necessary.
That's the story so far. In response, the Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford.
Our testing regime and capacity will continue as normal, and there is no change in that remarks. And I'd like to put on record again my thanks to Dr. Glover for all the hard work she's done over the pandemic period.
Just to recap, she did help you establish the testing centre on the island, and latterly has been supplying the reagents, is that right?
She has been one of the suppliers of reagents. The department does have all the sources of reagents as well, which will continue. Yeah, the work of Rachel has done with the testing centre has been absolutely fabulous. She's established, along with the rest of the team, a world-class testing centre of which everyone should be proud.
David Ashford there talking about the situation with Tactor Genomics and also the testing centre, which continues to be run. Reaction to that as well. Some notes in. Norma dropped me a note just to say, what's the point in having a vaccine that's not going to give you a certificate to prove that you've had it? You can still carry the virus and pass it on to others. Really, what's the point? It's not going to open travel and allow life to go back to normal. Thank you for that note in. Another quote in yesterday, somebody said, can you give us a bit of perspective as to what's happening around Europe? Well, I did some research and looking at the vaccination strategies of six European countries. I looked at Germany, France, Hungary, Italy, Spain and Sweden, just to get away from the UK side of things. And Germany and Hungary are the only countries to have made separate deals with drug makers in addition to the vaccine shots supplied by the EU. And Spain is planning to donate the jabs it doesn't use to poorer countries. Germany's got extra vaccines in addition to the EU supply. Medical staff and risk groups are getting priority in Germany. In France, there are no additional shots outside the EU supply. The elderly and medical staff are getting priority. The general population, France says, will get vaccinated in May and June next year. Hungary's got 12 million jabs from the EU and additional vaccines from deals negotiated separately. Italy, which of course is the country that's really in trouble, 202 million vaccines have been supplied to Italy from the EU. No separate deals there. Priority is for healthcare workers, the elderly and the risk groups. In Spain, 140 million vaccines have been supplied by the EU and the surplus has been donated to poorer countries. In Spain, vulnerable groups and medical staff get priorities. And in Sweden, finally, the EU share of vaccines is sufficient, says the Swedish government. There are no separate deals. Vaccinations in Sweden will be carried out in hospitals, medical centre and pharmacies. Everybody seems to have a different approach, or marginally different approach. But I thought that was Trevor who had just asked and said, we always hear about the UK all the time. What's the European perspective? A quick note also that there's an additional keys sitting on the 18th of December, and that's a week on Friday. There'll be an additional sitting of keys, which, of course, we'll be carrying on Manx Radio. That's who knows what's going to be happening if that one's just been slipped in just before Christmas. Text, email or call. This is 476. I don't know whether Joe's the real name. Thank you, 476. We have our civic duty, moral obligation and social responsibility to have the vaccine. There's nothing unsafe about the vaccine. All the world's best scientists can't be wrong. So roll up your sleeve and take it for your family, friends and country. Nobody wants to remain a social exile, says Joe. Thank you for your point. The assertion by scientists that the vaccine has been fully tested and was safe. Today, after two people became ill, it transpires that the vaccine wasn't tested on people with allergies. Well, again, we just come back to the point. The vaccination is not mandatory. The Health and Social Care Minister has said that many times. It's not mandatory. You don't have to have the vaccine. And of course, there's nothing at the moment in terms of an inoculation or a vaccination certificate at the moment. Although, as has been reported on Manx Radio, the advocate Ian Kermode is in dialogue with the government at the moment regarding inoculation certificates relating to two categories of people, certainly Manx residents. And also non-island residents as well. But more as that continues. But Ian Kermode, the advocate of Douglas, is certainly in touch with the government. The injections for COVID that happen to be for the people who have taken immune suppressant medications, do they get a different injection? Well, people on immunosuppressant, of course, and people who've got specific conditions that require immunosuppressant, presumably are in an at-risk group and will be contacted by the relevant medical authorities. Indeed, if you've got any specific experience of that, then we'd like to hear from you. Yesterday also, I got a note in, just said, you mentioned that cable that's being installed into, I think it's Port Greenock and Port Erin, and the 500,000 scallops. It was Geoffrey Boot on Monday who mentioned they moved 500,000 queen scallops. How on earth they counted them, we don't know, but they've been moved from the route of the underwater cable. Alaman government's worked with scientists and fishermen to locate, catch and rehome 19 tonnes of scallops. The Havhingston telecommunications cable, which actually runs from Denmark to Ireland, but stops off in the Isle of Man. They've got put some connections into the Isle of Man. Celtics Connect are doing it on behalf of Aquacom. They've landed two branches of the marine fibre optic cable at Port Erin and Port Greenock. There's 75 kilometres of marine cable installed on the Manx seabed, connecting the island to data centres in Ireland, the UK and Denmark, offering improved, well, internet connection. It's really making it very, very stable and faster speeds as well. The installation's been subject to Manx government approval process. There's something, believe it or not, called the Submarine Cables Act 2003, and a public consultation that resulted in some applied conditions as well to assess scallop stocks and sensitive marine habitats. It was carried out in August as well, and they identified high density beds of queen scallops along the Port Erin route into an area that hasn't been actually fished for many, many years. It goes through the Chickens fishing ground as well. So we're all connected. In fact, if you're around Port Greenock, we had a photo sent earlier on of the cable itself and all the boys being harnessed to it as well. If you've got any photos, we'd like to see them. We've got a couple in so far. A note in that says it was just said on the news that people with severe allergies shouldn't have the injections. Some nurses are having a bad reaction. Well, again, that's something we will certainly watch in the news as well. I noticed the vaccine has claimed victims. So what's that? Well, claimed victims. Why will the big pharmaceutical companies remain exempt from prosecution and liability? I don't know. We know that for certain. Should their vaccine cause here, any other new product release wouldn't be exempt. So why now? I am not going near the vaccine, says Joe. They didn't test the TB jab on people with allergies or the polio jab on people with allergies. People might not know they've got any allergies, says Dave. Good point, says Dave. Some messages this morning regarding the Dr. Glover situation, and he had an SMS that came in and said, Dr. Glover may be brilliant, but I think she's been unprofessional, a bit divisive as well. Government's had to balance many things through the crisis. She seems to have a narrow perspective. It may not have been perfect, but overall, I think the government's done well. And James, I think we're a bit fed up with Dr. Glover's outbursts. She's just one of the team who has rather a big opinion of herself. I want to come on to the rally situation. And you may have heard this morning the situation. The organisers are claiming that proposed traffic calming measures in Castletown will have a severe impact on rally events in the Isle of Man. A number of permanent road humps could be installed early in 2021 if plans to clamp down on speeding around Castletown are approved. Now, this would mean that an iconic stage of rallying, which runs through the town, would be unable to go ahead. No more. Now, the president of Manx Autosport is Mark Ellison.
Restaurants, hotels, pubs, they all rely on the trade outside of the TT and Manx Grand Prix. And if we can't run events on roads because of in-place traffic calming measures, then there will not be a possibility of running stages like the Castletown stage. Cars can't be expected to ride over these humps, which in some cases are quite substantial, and not do damage to the cars, in which case then we wouldn't be able to run the stage. It's also a safety issue as well. So you can imagine if a car's coming down the road and hits one of these bumps and sends it into the air, where's it going to land? It's a little bit more than just, you know, hoping and praying. What we really want the Department of Infrastructure to do is to look at it. As I said before, we fully support traffic calming, but not to the extent where the roads that these are on, we will not be able to use.
There was a public consultation on the proposed traffic calming measures earlier this year. Is this the first time you're raising these concerns?
We have spoken to the DOI about it, The information that we initially received and the Castletown commissioners initially received, that they would be removable, this now seems not to be the case. And what we're looking at is for the department to actually use sections that can be removed. I mean, we didn't consider to use non-removable ones for the TT races, would we?
What about those people who would say, well, why is this stage so important? Could you not organise for the rally to be in a different part of the island that doesn't have speed bumps?
How many Castletowns are there? There's only one. Castletown is known throughout the rallying world as an iconic stage. It brings much prestige to the Isle of Man. And now we're going to do is basically cancel that stage and any other place that these speed bumps, which would be permanent, will put in.
I just wonder how you think motorsport fits into the Isle of Man. How important do you think motorsport, now not just the Rally Isle of Man is really, really important. It used to be called the Manx International Rally, and I think the Manx Trophy Rally before that as well. First held early 60s, I think it was 1963, and it was a well-known event in the British Open Rally Championship and the European Rally Championship. Became part of the Irish Tarmac Rally Championship as well. So, I mean, some really top people, a bit Mark Higgins, of course, and it, Tony Pond, Russell Brooks, they've all appeared in the Manx Rally. It's been an annual event for many years. It was cancelled, I think, 2011, and the 2018 was cancelled as well. So if, and I'm talking to you particularly if you're not involved personally in the rally. If you are, obviously you're going to have a firm opinion about it. But the traffic calming measures in Castletown could stop this. I mean, it is an iconic stage of the rally. It's thought that the Manx National and the Poker Stars rallies are worth £2.5 million to the Manx economy. Now, in the global scheme of things, that's not a lot of money regarding the Manx economy, but they are iconic events. They're things that put the Isle of Man on the international stage. Things like the TT do the same thing as well. Castletown commissioners have agreed that any attempts to curb speeding in the town must be sympathetic to the event's organisers. They say the Department of Infrastructure have gone back on an initial design which included removable road humps, you know, the ones that they have, of course, at Quarterbridge when TT's on and MGP and Classic TT, they remove those mini roundabouts at Quarterbridge. But the Department of Infrastructure say Castletown commissioners have gone back on a similar sort of design. Colin Leather spoke to our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
I agree with them. The rally is important to Castletown, as it is to the island. And if we're going to put calming humps in the road, then they have to be removable so that the rally and any other sport occasion that comes along, so they can take place. It's a benefit for the town and it's a benefit for the island.
That seems to be the crux of the complaints from the organisers about the speed bumps being permanent instead of removable. Now, these plans have gone to public consultation, and it seems as if the DOI are keen to implement them early next year. Why was this not flagged by the commissioners straight away?
Well, when we had the initial meeting with the DOI, we made it quite clear to them that any speed humps on the rally course would have to be removable. And we said, think of the rally before you start designing the plans.
So what's happened there then? Have they given you some plans and you've said that's fine and then they've changed them?
They came back straight away with permanent speed humps.
Well, you've been heavily involved with the Southern Hundred. You surely understand the benefits that motorsport brings to the south of the island. Just how crucial is it that any traffic calming measures that are brought in aren't of detriment to the rally?
It's utterly important because the rally, as you quite rightly say, brings a lot of money to Castletown. It's a stage that the drivers like to do, but not only the local drivers, but from all over the UK and around the world. And it's famous as the Isle of Man Monaco stage. So, yes, it's very important. And there's other things that might come along in the future that the speed humps might be a hazard to, and they should be removable.
If the plans were put in place in their current form, what would be the upshot if they were to cause the town to lose this iconic rally stage?
We would object. I would definitely say that the board would object to the plans as they stand now.
But how much, if they did get put in place, if you were to lose that battle, what financial impact, say, would it have to the town?
It would have a huge financial impact for the town. The town is busy when the rally stage is on.
Colin Leather talking about the traffic calming measures in Castletown that may precludes the rally stage as well. It'd be sad to see a traffic-dodging mum texted in just to say, it'd be sad to see the rally leave Castletown, but there are far too many drivers coming through Castletown that think it's a rally all year round. Safety has to come first. Another one in just said, how many accidents are there actually in Castletown? If there aren't many, why traffic calming at all as well? Another one, and Kevin in Port Erin said, I think motorsports like driving to work each day. COVID-19 has made us realise we can do without for a while at least. If the health of the economy rests on a tiny part of a stage of a rally, we are indeed in trouble. There's a perfectly good traffic calming measure, says this correspondent in Castletown, as it is. It's called to work traffic, and it forces cars to slow down and give way to one another. If we remove the two-way traffic, it becomes a race course because you know nothing is coming the other way. Just keep the two-way traffic as well. Does anybody actually know what's in the COVID vaccine, says this correspondent? Are they publishing it? Well, I think they have. They could be putting anything in it. I've just seen a bit on YouTube. Oh, crikey. JK. Have a look who publishes anything on YouTube. And I'm not saying, but oh, dear me. YouTube, of course, is a completely unregulated platform. Anybody can put anything on YouTube, but anyway, the use of speed humps in Castletown shows MHKs have any vested interest in the businesses affected by them, says Fran Frank Francis Francisco and Dick the Dog as well. Thank you to Texter 762. I've been told by a work permit official that inspectors aren't going out because of COVID. We don't have any COVID on the Isle of Man. Why aren't the work permit inspectors going out, says Rob as well. Manx rumour, again, if you can confirm that rumour that the work permit inspectors aren't going out, then that'd be terrific. You can get speed humps if you can bolt down. You can just unbolt them for the rally. Problem solved. We are, but commissioners say the DOI have changed their mind. What's the point of having a vaccination certificate if you still contract and spread the virus? Said David H. Well, what's the point of a vaccine, David? Earlier on this year, everybody was screaming for a vaccine. Now it's here. Well, anyone taking the vaccine should realise they are effectively guinea pigs. We'll be seeing lots more bad reactions, says an unknown correspondent. Everybody's unknown, aren't they? A note in from, this is Simon. Hello, Simon. The roads are so narrow, surely it's hard to speed in Castletown. As with the previous correspondent, I'm not aware of a lot of accidents to prompt the need for speed humps in Castletown. Off the top of my head, I certainly can't recall any serious accidents in Castletown. The commissioners, says Pompey Pete, are voted in locally, so they should have the final say what happens, not the DOT. Castletown commissioners should have the final say. And Rob said it'd be nice to know the cost of all the carry-on with Dr. Glover. I bet it's mouth-watering with the Manx government paying top dollar. Well, we'll find out, of course, as time goes on with that situation. But that situation is that Dr. Glover's company has now severed ties with the Manx government. We'll find out more on that. And also a note in, this is from Paula, it is. Hello, Paula in Ramsey, just saying, I listened very intently to what the reporter from Jersey had to say yesterday. All I can say is, carry on, Isle of Man, we're doing a great job.
Manx Radio, the nation's Christmas station. The station listened to by Santa.
Great choice and prices so low. I am one car centre on Delane Road. Cars of every places that are hard to find. Visit on Facebook to see the range, or call 611040. Great service, choice and prices low. Iron One Car Centre, the place to go.
Aon is the island's commercial insurance broker of choice, providing businesses with risk solutions including buildings insurance, liability, professional indemnity and more. Aon combines expertise and full remote working ability with access to top insurance providers worldwide. Call 692-400 or search online for Aon Isle of Man. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
For pizza, I settle for nothing less than the best. Pizza Napoli, with their wood-fired oven pizza that cooks in just 90 seconds once they've made it up. Nothing frozen, nothing microwaved. It makes me feel like I'm here in Italia, eating a delicious, authentic, tasting pizza in a cobbled square with music and...
Did you order from Pizza Napoli again?
It's free contactless delivery over £15. Call Douglas 813 100. Pizza Napoli, in Ramsey and Douglas.
You're a super carer, Ben, my foster child, said to me. You make me feel like part of the family. In truth, every child I've fostered is a superhero, to overcome sad times and be happy and confident again. Fostering's been the most rewarding and the most challenging experience I've ever had. If you can make a child or young person feel like part of your family, call the Family Placement Service on 610000. Superheroes need super carers.
As we make our way through December, we've already had some big winners on the Manx Radio Advent Calendar.
In the Christmas movie, Love Actually, which English actor played the Prime Minister?
Was it Hugh Grant?
Was it Hugh Grant?
It was!
I think you could be right.
The Manx Radio Advent Calendar, powered by Waltons.
And we've still got lots of big prizes to give away, including £75 to spend at Celtic Gold, a boom pod speaker from Shaw, and a staycation at the Manin Hotel. And each winner also receives a digital radio from Waltons. So just keep listening for a door to open each day for your chance to be a big Christmas winner here on the Nation Station.
The Manin Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Good to have you along. 27 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Thank you, G. Put chicanes in Castletown. Chicanes are good for traffic calming and the rally will love them as well. Alan, I bet all the people complaining about what's in the vaccine will still eat junk food and smoke. Well, that's a very good point. Thank you for that. And Bill said, Andy, regarding COVID-19, I'd rather have a bad reaction to the vaccine than die from COVID. Well, very well summed up. Thank you for that as well. Thank you for Taxogenomics were supplying materials. Were they supplying materials at cost for the benefit of the Isle of Man? Well, any commercial concern has a perfect right to put a premium on it. They work in the commercial world. Is it my imagination, but are people who are now going on about the vaccine the same people as the people who are going on and on demanding to know when a vaccine was going to be available? Are these just the sort of people who just go on about anything? Just asking, says Pam as well. Alan says that motorsport events bring millions of pounds into the Isle of Man. The government panders to cycling, and that doesn't bring in much at all. So I think we need to pay some attention to the motorsport fraternity. Can anybody speed in Castletown? The glue pot chicane slows speeds to a crawl, and out anybody gets past 20. And as for the vaccine, the head man at Pfizer, when asked, said he didn't know how the vaccine works. Well, I'm sure he does. Terry, a noted from Terry, I'm having the vaccine, no problem. I believe it should be mandatory to help protect the vulnerable. The people who don't take the vaccine, well, they deserve their fate. No time for them. Social exile is their future, says Terry. A noted also from Alison, who said, I think the people who are against the vaccine are run away with the fact that the Isle of Man is virtually COVID-free. If you were in England or Italy, or as we heard yesterday, Jersey, you'd be screaming for the vaccine. I think our opinions are clouded by the fact says Alison, that we don't have any COVID on the Isle of Man. Believe me, we are very, very privileged to have no COVID on the Isle of Man. I just wonder what your thoughts are on motorsport in general, actually, but also the rally, the Manx Rally, or Rally Isle of Man, actually, to give it its correct term. Has been around, I think the first rally, as I say, was 1963. Some big names have been rallying around the Isle of Man. Colin McRae won a few as well. I'm trying to think, was it Keith Cronin won the last one? And, of course, big Manx names as well. Steve Colley, I think, won in 2015. Nigel Cannell was in as well. Certainly Mark Higgins as well. So big names and a big place on the motorsport stage. And to not have the rally, well, I suppose if you're not involved in the rally, you have to be in the industry or in the sport to realise how big it is. Of course, Rally Isle of Man is on public roads, closed for racing by the Act of Tynwald. Special time stages that use narrow farm lanes as well, high grass banks, stages over open moorland as well, and of course then the round the houses stages in Ramsey and in Castletown. The routes, I think, vary most years, I think there was a Villamarina stage as well for a while as well. I think, wasn't there a Villamarina stage when Van Morrison was on stage at the Villamarina? Or maybe that's my memory playing tricks. But it is iconic, and motorsport does present a very dramatic picture of the Isle of Man, and there are pictures, television pictures, that go around the world. TT, iconic. Of course, in terms of money, it's not a game changer for the Isle of Man, but it does give us something to hang our hat on around the world. If you've been anywhere around the world and you mention the Isle of Man, people normally do mention, if it's not Kippers or Manx Cats, it is the TT. So motorsport is something by which the Isle of Man is known worldwide. More comments in about vaccine. And Sue said, Andy, COVID vaccine, I assume it'll be frontline government staff who get the vaccine after the vulnerable. People such as job centre staff should be next. So let's make sure the civil servants don't get overlooked as well. I don't need the vaccine. I had a night out in Peel. That's the Northern Moot Marauder. I don't think any self-respecting germ would go anywhere near the Northern Moot Marauder. Do you? The Health Minister has ordered 130,000 doses, which will cover 65,000 people over the next 6 months. What about the others? The vaccine hasn't been tested on the under-16s, and pregnant women can't have it. It's not just Rally Isle of Man. The national event also uses Castletown twice as well. Yesterday, I was wanting to talk about landlords on the Isle of Man. An MHK says the Department of Infrastructure doesn't want to impose landlord regulations on itself because it is a public sector landlord. The Ramsey member, Laurie Hooper, pushed for the Landlords Registration Housing Bill to go to a committee while it's had its second reading at this week's sitting of Keys. And the landlord bill is something we've debated long and hard on the Isle of Man, and exactly what provisions there are in it and the obligations it will put on private sector landlords. But as I say, the Department of Infrastructure doesn't want to impose the landlord regulations on itself. Laurie Hooper's bid failed. Mr. Hooper spoke to John Moss and said there are a number of changes needed to those landlord proposals.
My worry is the willingness of the department to do that. So to date, they haven't been particularly enthusiastic about engaging on changes. Instead, they've been quite dismissive and obstructive, actually, is the way I would describe them so far. So I have very little faith that if we just give this back to the department and say, please go try again, we won't get a very different outcome.
Do you feel this is necessary?
In short, the answer is yes, actually. I think there are lots of potential upsides for minimum standards, which already exist. It's just about better enforcing. I think Chris Thomas said it quite well, that we already have a lot of these standards in place already. So this is about visibility. It's about better enforcement of existing law. That's really what we're talking about here. So when the department says a lot of this stuff stuff already exists. They're right, it does, but not quite in this way and not with these sanctions that they're already proposing.
This is after 4 years. I suppose people are thinking, surely they must have these sort of regulations in other places. Why don't we just adopt that?
And that's essentially what it looks like has happened, but they've adopted part of the regulations and then tried to make a hash of the bits they haven't adopted. So the Scottish law, for example, is very similarly worded to this in terms of having a landlord and a representative, but the Scots have a very specific extra bit, which is for lettings agents. So if you're a professional firm, you can be regulated in a professional way, and the representative element only really applies to if I'm managing my dad's property or something. But the way we've adopted it over here is we've left out that professional regulation entirely, and so they're designing a system that is essentially looking to reinvent the way you regulate people. We have lots of regulated sectors on the Isle of Man, and they all take a very similar approach, which is you regulate the decision makers, you regulate the people that are responsible in those various organisations, and you hold them accountable when things don't work. What the department's proposing to do is instead to regulate everybody.
Do you want to see the public and the private sectors join together?
In terms of regulation, I don't see why there shouldn't be one single standard that applies to everyone, and it should be enforced in the same way. And there's a real risk here, actually. The department, let's not forget, is a public sector landlord in its own right. So there is a real element of vested interest in not imposing regulation on themselves. And I think that's probably the real reason we're not seeing a single bill that covers everybody, is because the department doesn't want to hand over that regulatory power to someone else to regulate them. Their view on their own properties is everything is absolutely perfect, there's nothing to worry about. And then when you ask them for details, the answer often is, well, we can't tell you the detail. We don't have that information.
How do you feel about that? So the Department of Infrastructure doesn't want to impose the landlord regulations on itself because it is a public sector landlord. Private landlords get the legislation on them. They get all the restrictions, they get the commitments, the onus is on them, and of course the penalties will come back on the private landlords. Public sector landlords, i.e. the Department of Infrastructure, no. Your thoughts? Text, email or call 661368. It's not just the Rally Isle of Man. The national event is on there as well. There's been a Rally Isle of Man since 2017. No one's missed it. Hasn't been a Rally Isle of Man. Or the income. What's the fuss about changing the plans for Castletown to accommodate something which is currently dead? Says Tony. No, you're quite right. There wasn't a Rally Isle of Man in, I think, 2017. There wasn't one. No, 2018 there wasn't one. 2019, obviously, there wasn't one. And 2020, there hasn't been one. So it is now 3 years since then. Thoughts, 66, 13, 60. Oh, David's with us. Good afternoon, David.
Hi, Mr. Wint. I'm listening to Mr. Hooper there. And I'm amazed at some of the politicians and the DOI actually trying to bring the landlords through with everybody in it. You cannot have a piece of legislation in law unless it includes everybody on the Isle of Man, and that would include local authorities and DOI themselves, who are a self-interest group because they run a number of houses which government then own. Can I say to you, it would be different if government itself said to all the local authorities, like if there were houses in Ramsey or Kirkmichael, whatever, they were given or administered by the local authority, and then put them in as well. Why are we penalising the private landlords and then local government, that's all the local authorities themselves, which have, say off the top of my head, a couple of, 1,600 houses, maybe in Douglas. There's about 3,000 houses to which government technically own or have a connection with, but they're not going to be regulated. Who regulates them?
Why would DOI not want to? Surely they can see what everybody will see what DOI is doing. Do they think nobody's going to notice?
Well, the other thing is, everybody's not perfect. And there were some private landlords, which I wouldn't give them house room, to tell you the truth, but there are great private landlords which fulfil a need in the island. We only have so many flats, buildings to rent out. So I just wonder why, especially this time now, putting another economic burden on those private sector landlords, some of them will be frustrated and say, shut the door or sell them on. And I just wondered why, because it was defeated in my time when I was in Parliament. It went to the Parliament there. The Landlords Association got together and brought a few politicians in, and we looked at it. It went to a select committee, which there's evidence there that it was poorly drafted. I think it was drafted off the top of my head by a guy that was in New Zealand, and it was thrown back. And well, Chris Robichaud was involved in it in the time as well. But I just wondered, why are we doing this? And I can't see why we're doing it. And it's wrong because we're not all in it together. This big thing the government says, we're all in it together. But in this particular legislation, we're not all in it.
Well, it's out in the open now, so we'll see what happens, David.
Okay.
Thanks for calling today. Look at that time. It's 14 minutes to one.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
Nearly ready. Just got my eyelashes to do. Hurry up. Can't wait for our Christmas night at Da Vinci's.
Yes, Da Vinci's is the perfect venue.
And the food is fantastic. They've everything from a full festive feast for us to a sharing platter for Nan and Grandad, with generous portions to satisfy everyone.
And don't forget Da Vinci's famous cocktails.
I can't wait. And I'm going again with work next week.
A great Christmas starts at Da Vinci's on North Quay, Douglas. Book now on 613 271.
People of the Isle of Man, are you thinking of buying or selling a home? Well, wait! You need to talk to the conveyancing team at LVW Law. LVW Law! They've over 20 years of experience and know what they're talking about. They're friendly and efficient. Do not buy or sell a property without calling LVW Law on 836757 for a no-obligation quote. LVW Law.
Would you consider leaving a gift to Hospice Isle of Man in your will? We are a local charity that needs to raise over £5 million every year to continue providing our amazing services free of charge. Our patients now have more choice with our Hospice at Home scheme. If you're considering making a will or adding a hospice donation to your will, please give us a call to find out more on 647 400. Hospice Isle of Man appreciates every donation now more than ever.
All aboard the Santa Express from Douglas Station to see me and my friends in Santa's Grotto in Santon. The whole family can enjoy festive refreshments, all served from the dining car, and every child will visit Santa's Grotto and receive a Christmas gift from me. For dates and train times, call Santa's Helpers on 662-525 or visit rail.im.
It's another Caroline North weekend and time for the Christmas party. There's our usual selection of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and just into the 90s, and one or two Christmas songs as well. The weekend and prizes are sponsored by RushJets and InFlightGoods.com. So join us here at Caroline North this weekend.
Radio Caroline North on 648 and 1368 AM with Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along. It's a note in from Freddie who said, we need the rally, Isle of Man. It helps sales of Subaru Imprezas. Yes, I guess it does. Viv and Sue said, how can we be volunteers for the vaccine? Well, it'll be here soon. They are rally cars, not Formula One cars. Surely they can go over a couple of speed bumps, says John. Well, apparently not. And a note in that just says, what's more important to the Isle of Man? And what's more important to the residents? A few random hours of a few days within a year for a few racing vehicles or bikes to speed around the Isle of Man, very small winding roads, which are none of which were laid down as formal racetracks, but as arteries for residents to get from A to B. Or the cost of lives that can be lost or devastated by speeding vehicles and bikes. What price tag do we put on human life? That's an anonymous correspondent. Well, the thing is, we've had the TT since 1907. And it is it's wanted. The Rally Isle of Man is wanted by the fraternity. I guess it's where you feel this fits into the Isle of Man, and whether you think motorsport is important. Motorsport is extremely... It may be that you have no interest in motorsport whatsoever, that it leaves you completely cold. But, you know, some people like some things, some people like others. Some people like fishing, some people like motorsport, some people like jogging endlessly. You know, if we can put motorsport on the Isle of Man, and it helps people. Some people find it very relaxing to watch motorsport. It brings money in, there's no doubt. It brings money into Castletown. It's a very iconic stage to watch the rally cars herring through Castletown. But it seems that it may not, if the speed calming, ironically, the speed calming measures will get finished with it. Just regarding the government, it's the usual way with government. Do as I say, not as I do. The landlord's bill, one law for them and another one for us. It sounds like Animal Farm. So the DOI won't apply the landlord's bill to themselves as landlords, but will apply it to private landlords. And Pat said, I have to carry out certain works on corpy houses, local government houses, and most importantly, social care housing. The state of some of them is a disgrace, full of damp and rotten. I recently reported a house with a vulnerable person living in it that was full of damp and fungus growth. To date, nothing's happened, says Pat. And Pete, DOI don't want regulations. It will be hard to find someone to take the top job, as we know, where the buck stops right at the top as well. And thank you. I'm in a Williston house now that's been refurbished, and the family have moved back in. Look nice from the outside, but it's a mess. There's damp inside some houses in Williston. I think they're using cowboys, and the corpy just turns a blind eye. It needs some independent investigation. Well, if you live in a public sector house, I'd like to hear from you if you have had problems, and if you've had good service or otherwise. Graham in Union Mills, how can you say £2 million is not a lot? I'm sure hotels and restaurants need the turnover the rally brings. Graham, you're quite right. All I said was £2 million is not a lot in terms of the Isle of Man overall economy. It's a drop in the ocean. You're quite right. £2 million, and certainly a proportion of it, will mean a lot to the George and places like it, and the Co-op in Castletown Square, to the sandwich shops around there as well. It will mean an awful lot. But everything is proportional. Jimmy's note was about fishing. And he said, I heard Geoffrey Boot on the Man in Line last week. It was Monday of this week. And he was talking about Manx fish producers selling to the EU. What did he exactly say?
Brexit has been going on, and my department particularly is in the midst of that, because we're affected more than perhaps any of the other departments in government. The fishing industry at the moment is waiting with bated breath, as indeed we are, as to what the outcome of the Brexit negotiations will be. I'm hoping that at the very least we'll maintain the status quo, because we need access to those European markets. They're extremely important for our fishing product, scallops particularly, but also shellfish, whelks. If we can see an improvement in that position in terms of quota going forward, so that we can recapture some of the quota we lost in the past, that would also be a useful adjunct to the whole situation.
When will we know?
How long is a piece?
January the 1st, at least.
String, yes. We keep hearing that it's going to be imminent. I can say that from a department and government point of view, we are in constant contact with the UK. But at the end of the day, we know as much as you do in real terms from the news.
So as we stand at the moment, the scallops, any scallops, any shellfish that we had could go to Europe under the existing agreement.
The majority of the scallops that we land...
Oh, they were delicacies in Paris, weren't they?
Yeah, they go to France particularly, yeah, but also other parts of Europe.
So what has to happen for that to continue?
Well, a trade agreement with the EU would be a good precursor to that trade continuing tariff-free. But if we have to revert back to World Trade Organization rules and tariffs, then there will be a tariff scenario. And at the moment, it would appear that around 8% tariff on scallop exports.
Geoffrey Boot talking about Manx fish and Brexit as we get ever closer to Brexit. If you think Christmas is, what, 2 weeks on Friday, and 3 weeks on Friday will be New Year's Day, January the 1st, 2021. Seems strange, doesn't it? 3 weeks on Friday, it's going to be 2021. and Brexit will have happened, or they certainly the something will have to have been in place, or it'll be World Trade Organization rules. We'll see where that happens. So obviously, Mr. Boot and his team will be watching that very carefully. We don't need speed bumps, says Barry. All you need is police officers and on-the-spot fines. That'll stop the speeders in Castletown. Williston houses are currently being refurbished now, but getting pulled down in 5 years. Surely that's a waste of money if they're being looked after now. And a note also in, I've got getting through loads of questions today, and thank you for your questions all the time. What's the situation with the air ambulance service? I understand it's being transferred. Yes, Woodgate Aviation have been superseded by IAS Medical. A firm commenced the service on the 1st of October, deploying a beach craft King Air 200. IAS Medical succeeded Woodgate Aviation. They'd done it for, what, 3.5 years. And the correspondent also said, what's the situation regarding COVID? Two flight crews reside close to the airport as key workers are subject to tests for COVID-19 and a modified self-isolation regime. The pilots travel to Ronaldsway when called to transport a patient to the UK, but otherwise have to remain in their accommodation. The COVID regulations for the air ambulance service as well. If you've got a question, by the way, email maninline@manxradio.com, or you can call the answer phone on 682-631. Thanks to our studio producer today, Barry Redfern. Tomorrow, live with the students of QE2 High School in Peel. And on Friday, Enterprise Minister Lauren Skelly will be in the studio to answer your calls. That's it for The Man in Line. Yeah.